From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from the Word of God brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, he continues a message called The Entrance of the King. At the beginning of what we call Passion Week, the Lord Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, hailed by the multitude as the King of Israel. Dr. Cairns contrasts Christ's humble demeanor and behavior with that of Alexander the Great, drawing the lessons that the humble Christ of Galilee is infinitely greater than the man who wept because he had no more nations to conquer. First, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to quote a United Nations report which shows that two-thirds of British people are unchurched.
According to the latest census figures, 72% of people in Britain claim connection to some Christian church. Of course, in Britain, we all understand that any church connection for most people is extremely tenuous. Churches for weddings and funerals and that sort of thing. The more religious may turn out for a Christmas service or an Easter service, but that's about the extent of most people's church connection. Still, 72% claimed a church connection. Enter the United Nations. The UN has issued a report on religion in the United Kingdom, the work of Asma Jahangir, a United Nations Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion or Belief. A Pakistani woman who has herself been subjected to house arrest in her native country, Jahangir claims that 66% of Britons claim no religion, no matter what they wrote in their census returns. On that basis, she calls for radical changes in British constitutional law with the disestablishment of the Church of England. Basically, what she says is that the Church of England no longer represents the majority of British people, does not reflect the distribution of professing Christians over a number of denominations, and so should not enjoy the special privileges of being the state church. There may be a lot of truth in her assertions. However, I think that it's outrageous for the United Nations to go into Britain and take it on itself to lecture the nation on its constitution. Jahangir appears to be arguing for the rights of the majority of the people to be free from religion. She asserts that most claim no religion. She makes the same mistake that many foreigners do when confronted with the enigma of the British people. That's nothing new. Hitler didn't understand them. They seemed so docile and unwarlike. But as he found out, they can be the most dauntless and immovable people on earth when the need arises. Ms. Jahangir doesn't understand them any better. They may claim no religion. They are admittedly an irreligious bunch. But if they had wanted so badly to be free from religion and change the British Constitution, they were perfectly capable of stating on their census forms that they claimed no religion. In other words, we don't need the UN agitating for constitutional change in the United Kingdom. To put it bluntly, it's none of their business. So why would they make it their business? The report leaves us in no doubt. Ms. Jahangir wants Britain to treat its Muslim population differently. She doesn't say whether she thinks that Muslims would fare better if there were no state church. That, however apostate, is professedly Christian. But that's the implication of her report. Admitting that there's no evidence of institutional discrimination, she criticizes the country for subjecting Asians to questioning more than indigenous Britons in the wake of terrorist attacks carried out by Asian Muslims. And she finds fault with anti-terrorist laws for being too vague in criminalizing support for and celebration of terrorists. The report is mostly a charade. Perhaps the UN should send Ms. Jahangir to Saudi Arabia or some such Muslim country and call for them to change their constitution and to quit their open persecution of minorities, especially religious minorities. Of course, the UN knows that while she will gain a polite hearing in the UK, she would be fortunate to escape with her life in such places. Meanwhile, we have to deal with the millions of unchurched people in Britain. There is a vast mission field, a challenge to us to take the gospel to them and to see them saved.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
The word of the king. Similarly, when you come not only to the dead body, but to dead souls, when you come to sinners dead in trespasses and sins, who lament, "I am a captive to my lusts and to my pride and to my sin and to my uncleanness. I'm an enemy of God. I'm a rebel against the God of glory, my creator and my sustainer. I'm a rebel against the very one who holds my soul and being. And there's nobody to help me. There's no power to save yourself. And I can't save you. And as I've indicated, all the priests and pastors and ministers who ever lived, they can't save you. And all the churches put together can't save you. And all the sacraments can't save you. But oh, I tell you, Christ is the King of grace. And He says, "I will be thou clean." He says, "I will," as you find in Ezekiel 16, and He says, "Live." And He actually gives you eternal life. He's the King of grace. He's the King of government. He is in charge. I do not understand how He does this. The greatest theologians who have ever lived can't work it out in His details. But I tell you that behind and beyond and in absolute control of all the self-determined decisions and actions of men, behind and above, beyond and in control of all the decisions and actions of nations, of governments, and of individuals, there is the sovereign King of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ governs. He governs. I am the King. You get so much taken up in this world with the appearance. You get so much taken up with man. Mighty man, almighty man. You get so much worried about states and governments and international affairs and economic policy and social policy. Now, these things are important. Do not misunderstand me. They are important. And they should engage the thoughtful involvement of God's people. But you can get so much taken up with those things that you forget He is on the throne. He's the King. The King of grace, the King of government. And thank God He's coming back. He is the King of glory. And without saying that this is the exposition or the exegetical interpretation of the 24th Psalm, isn't it a wonderful thing that you're invited to fling open the gates? And I don't care if it's the gates of your home, or the gates of your heart, or the gates of the church, or the gates of the nation. Do you know what's wrong with your life today? If it's all wrong, you need the entrance of the King of Glory. If your home's in darkness and confusion, you need the entrance of the King of Glory. If the church is dead, it needs the entrance of the King of Glory. If America's perishing as it is, it needs the entrance of the King of Glory. And oh, bless God, where the gates are flung open. That in itself is the product of grace, for it's all of grace. But where the gates are flung open, the King of Glory shall come in. Jesus says, don't be blinded by first appearances. I am the King. The Romans would have laughed at that. A king riding on a donkey? Come off it. Roman Caesars don't ride on donkeys. But don't be fooled by appearances. Jesus says, I am the King. But there's a second reason why He asserted Himself with such publicity at this time to be the King. And that was to show His love. That such an one as this Almighty King should die the death of the cross. You see, what the Lord Jesus was doing here, and this is something that most commentators never pick up on. Bishop Ryle certainly made this point, and I have to agree with him entirely. And it's this: the Lord Jesus, by doing this, was guaranteeing that the events of a few days later would not, as the high priest wanted it to be, it would not be something done in a corner. By gathering the thousands around Him, by focusing such public attention upon Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ was guaranteeing that everybody in Jerusalem would understand and be aware of what was happening on that dreadful day of crucifixion. In other words, in drawing attention to Himself, He was making the proclamation, today you see me as the King. Follow me 4 days and you'll see the King become the Lamb. What a glorious revelation. The King becomes the Lamb. We needed a great sacrifice. Sin is a terrible thing. It can't be wished out of existence. You and I by nature are enemies of God. By nature we're under the wrath and curse of God. Man can, and of course this is what's happening today, man can make little of sin. They can make light of sin. They can say it's only a conditioned reflex. It's just something bred into your mind by your upbringing. Don't you believe it? Do you know what causes us to be able to talk about sin? It's the existence of the law of God. It's because God has defined sin to be what it is. Our catechism sums it up well. Sin is any want of conformity to the law of God. In any way, word, thought, or deed, in motivation, in the inward principle, or in the outward action, anything that does not conform to God's law is sin. And God says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And he's not talking about annihilation. He's talking about eternal separation from God. How do you deal with sin? How do you deal with sin? If I may borrow, my brother Brad Carper was telling me the other night about speaking to a young man who told him that he was had a great interest in Eastern religion. Brad very wisely, instead of getting into philosophical argument, very wisely said, well, you know, it all comes down to this: how do you deal with sin? How do you deal with sin? Went on to show him how the Bible and God and Christ deal with sin. And listen, it could only be dealt with by the shedding of the blood of God's Lamb. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And when the mighty King became the Lamb, he shed his blood. And because he is the King, God manifested in the flesh, and man, truly man, without sin, he could shed his blood, and there would be power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's kingly power in Jesus' blood. There's power to cleanse from all sin. There's power to cleanse the conscience. There's power to deliver from the inbred dominion of sin. There's power to set you free from condemnation. There's power to save you from hell. There's power to give you victory over the devil. There's power to make you a new creature in Christ. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because it was the King who became the Lamb. The Lord Jesus did reveal at this time his true identity, his royal dignity. He is the divine King. But he also revealed his true character. Notice the words in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5, quoting loosely from Zechariah 9. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. You know, the beautiful thing about this is that it is quoted from Zechariah. When you go back to Zechariah 9, you find that prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ being just and meek and humble and riding upon the ass's colt, that prophecy comes immediately after a description of the conquests of Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander's called Alexander the Great because men still count him great. By worldly standards, there has rarely, if ever, been a greater than Alexander the Great. The greatest of earthly kings in many ways. But what a contrast between him and Christ. And the Lord intends us to pick up on that contrast. Alexander, as a person, you read a little of his history, you'll find he personally swung between nobility and self-control on the one hand, and blistering rage and bitter cruelty on the other hand. But Zechariah tells us the Lord Jesus, the true King, was just. He was righteous. Personally, he is the righteous one. And he's righteous in his rule. Alexander was driven by ambition. The Lord Jesus was meek and humble. He said to the Father, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Alexander came with armies and spread his rule by war. The Lord Jesus came with peace, the Prince of Peace. Alexander brought death and destruction. The Lord Jesus, as Zechariah says, showed salvation, to give his word, I think it's literal force. Alexander died with his ambitions fulfilled. but his soul unsatisfied, longing for fresh worlds to conquer. The Lord Jesus Christ died, and he saw of the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. Alexander died, and his kingdom perished forever. Little more than a footnote to the true history of mankind. Christ died, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Alexander led men to perish. Whether you were one of his soldiers following in his footsteps, or whether you were one of his victims in the way of his armies, Alexander led men to perish. And then he led them to perdition. The Lord Jesus Christ leads men to glory.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.